7:38, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us. I really appreciate you choosing us. I know you have options, and I appreciate when you listen to us. It's, it's always an honor. Like, when I bump into people out, and they're like, oh, I listen to you every day, I'm like, it's just always, it's humbling. I mean, frankly, you know, it's just, it's always amazing. So I really do appreciate that. Joining us now, as he does every Thursday, Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good to have you. So, past week, anything that we don't already know about? Anything that wasn't already in the news?
No, sir. It's been one of those quiet weeks. Again, you know, I get on here a lot and say that, but now that I sit here and think about it while I was waiting to go on the air, it's actually a very good thing that a lot of time the interview with the Pensacola Police Department is the shortest one.
Now, which is either a comment about the good status of bad behavior or a comment about the brevity of the person doing the interview.
Yeah, that could go either way.
I'll pass your note on to Sheriff Simmons and Sheriff Johnson. How about that? All right, so quiet week. The big news, sort of traffic-related news, which, of course, is a big source of the stuff that you guys have to deal with, was the final opening of the roundabout in the past week. And what have we seen so far? My expectation is we've had zero. Have we had zero incidents?
Yeah, so far so good with that. People, you know, anytime a new roadway opens up, people are being cautious. Locals and people that have never been through before, obviously they've never been around it either. So people are being cautious around there, and no incidents so far. It's working out.
And unless I'm mistaken, I believe that the Langley Roundabout has also had zero incidents, and that's been open a year, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a while, and again, I'm not aware of any major incidents at that location either.
Yeah, and I mean, weirdly, there's more probably traffic interactions at the Langley Roundabout than there is at the, you know, Bayfront and 17th Avenue one, just because of the way the traffic flow works there. So, like you say, you know, so far so good, and I know people were very concerned in the beginning about the capability of Panhandle residents to drive in a circle, but hey, look, Ma, you know, big man. One of the other things that I was going to ask you about is we had another hit and run with a pedestrian getting killed. Now, this is at Pace and I think Lee. And the first question, I don't know if this was your jurisdiction. I know FHP is investigating, but did you guys respond to this one?
We did. It was the jurisdiction of the Florida Highway Patrol. They investigated that, but we responded to assist with traffic.
Okay, so you were there responding to this, and the way I understand it is terrible that this young woman, I mean in her 30s, I guess, was crossing Pace, was hit by a car that then took off, or a gray van, if I'm not mistaken, was what we're looking for, and then was subsequently struck by another vehicle and died. I just, it's awful to think about. But that area, Pace, and as we see, Cervantes is undergoing, you know, reconstructive surgery right now. That's a major redevelopment. These are places where pedestrian and bicycle interactions with cars are very common, right?
Yeah, over the years, it's proven to be that, and we're hoping that the road diet on Cervantes is going to work. We'll see once it gets done. But, you know, the thing about a hit and run with a pedestrian is when a driver hits a pedestrian, they have to make a split-second decision, and normal folks are going to stay right there. The people that run don't understand how much worse they're making it for themselves. This could be, you know, an accident. The person just walked out in front of you in a dark area. It wasn't your fault, but the moment you leave that scene, things become really, really bad for you. So the worst thing that you can do is leave. You've got to stop. You've got to render aid.
I mean, whatever was going to happen to you because of the original incident, you're going to have that and then the fleeing, which is, I mean, this jail time, right?
Yeah, I mean, usually they leave because they don't have a driver's license or they don't have insurance or maybe they have a warrant. None of those is as bad as leaving the scene of a fatal pedestrian versus vehicle incident.
And as we've learned from other horrible incidents, there are a wide array of resources available to the police, from everything from identifying car parts and paints to cameras to, I mean, there's all kinds of ways that you guys have to find out who's responsible for this, right?
Yeah, you know, and that person this morning is probably in a panic, wondering that exact same thing, and the best thing they can do is call and turn themselves into the Florida Highway Patrol.
Absolutely. So let's talk from the other side of the perspective for just a second about the driving in areas that are like this. And look, we, you know, as we've talked about, Cervantes is undergoing this major redesign in order to thwart pedestrians from crossing the street, which hopefully, fingers crossed, it works, because it sure is a massive intrusion into that area. Pace is designed, eventually is scheduled to have similar kinds of changes, but we know those are, both of those areas, I mean, you see it on Davis Highway, you see this all over. It's a challenge, and you know, I want to be able to correct the pedestrians and get them and the bicyclists to behave, but most of the people who listen to this show, they're listening while they're driving. So if you're giving advice to drivers on how to be safe and to avoid these kinds of problems, I mean, what kind of advice do you have? What, I mean, there's obvious basic things, but what are some of the, anything you want to tell them? You've got their attention. You don't want to be the person that kills somebody walking, even if it's their fault. What's the advice?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I can tell them is the speed limit. Observe the speed limit. The speed limits in certain areas are designed for a reason, and that is to be able to stop your vehicle in time. And the speed limits are lower in these areas because of the possibility of pedestrians being there. So if you're doing the speed limit and somebody does walk out in front of you, the chances of you being able to stop your vehicle are a lot greater than they are if you're doing twice the limit.
Right, and you got to put down the phone. You got to, you know, pay attention to the road. You put down the Big Mac or whatever. You know, just it's all of those things that contribute to attentive driving. And I'm actually training. I've got a you know, my son, my oldest son. I'm training him to drive right now, which for the most part he's got it. But I'm still there as the, hey, did you see this? And hey, did you see this? And the thing that I'm always telling him is, like, just the other day we were driving somewhere and I knew that the other driver was going to do something stupid. I knew it, and he didn't yet know it. And I said, okay, you need to watch this guy because he's about to do something stupid. And sure enough, he blew right through a traffic control signal that we didn't have one, and he did. And I told him, I said, slow down, be aware of this. He's like, okay. And then he saw it, and he's like, how'd you know? I'm like, experience? And I'm like, but what did you learn? He says, Dad, it's okay to be right and still stop because it's better to avoid the crash. I'm like, exactly that. Always avoid the crash, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I told my kids the same thing. If you come up on an intersection and you have the green, you still need to let off of that gas and look both ways. Look for that guy that's about to run that red light. And when you're sitting at the red light and it turns green, don't dart straight out there. You need to give that person a moment who's going to run that red light. Give him a moment to pass through before you proceed.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, look, I don't think I've ever said this on the radio before, but I'm alive because of the one time I didn't jump off to a green. Because I used to. I used to have a stick, and you'd start to revving when you saw the cross lights were getting, you know, turn yellow, and you're getting ready to go. Because I wanted to go, man. And I had a passenger in the car, and for whatever reason, I didn't. The one time, I just didn't. And I got hit by a drunk driver. He destroyed my car. We had no injuries. But if I'd have been revving up to go right on green, we'd have both been dead. Absolutely, both would have been dead. And
yeah,
it's, I thank yeah. God for it, but that's the exact point. You got to, even when you are right, you still have to pay attention, because a crash is worse than, you know, paying attention, right?
That's exactly right. You have to drive defensively.
Absolutely. Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. And we celebrate the slow days. That's great. Slow weeks in crime is a good news for the community. Thanks, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.